Hallelujah. Praise Jehovah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Very serious words to utter. Very serious injunction based on the scriptures that we just read this evening. Words that probably should never be said in a flippant way about vain or profane or unholy things. What we read tonight, the passages that we looked at, are dealing with praising God for what He is, for who He is, for the things that He has done. This microphone sounds awfully loud. For the great blessings that He has blessed upon us. We have who, what, when, where, why, and how often answered in the verses that were read tonight about praising God. So if you'll go with me back over and look and review over these verses, let's draw some lessons we can learn about praising Jehovah. And the first one being Psalms 148. Psalm number 148, here the writer is telling us who should praise Jehovah. Psalm 148, as was read, we know what the Lord says, the heights, the deeps, the mountains, the moon, the stars, the heaven of heavens, the floods above the sky. Old men, young women, and older women, all people, kings of earth, on and on he would go. All of these things, dragons, ye hills and mountains, ye fruitful trees and cedars. We know what this says, probably because we've sung that song so many times, Hallelujah, Praise Jehovah. But have you ever stopped and wondered how or why should the rocks and hills and the fruitful trees and the floods above the heavens, why should they praise Jehovah? How do they praise Jehovah? In what way do they do this? We know it is true that the heavens declare the glory of God. The heavens and the earth and the great things that He has made tell us on a daily basis that God is, that God is great, that He has great might and great power, because we know that God spoke and it stood firm. What He said happened instantly, and He upholds all these things by the word of His power. But why do these things praise Jehovah? I can't really think of any reason why they may, besides the fact that because He is Jehovah. He is God. He is the one who is all-powerful, has all might, all knowledge. He is the one who is holy and has all holiness and all manner of these things that we can attribute to God. Why should the fruitful trees and cedars, why should the hills and mountains praise God? Because God is. God is worthy of praise because He is a glorious God. And so in Psalms 148, we see that everything that God has made, whether it's animals, whether it's trees and hills, whether it's His people that He created, everything is to offer unto God praise because of who and what He is. He just deserves it by His very nature. Next we read, if you'll go with me to John chapter 4, a how, perhaps. How do we do this? When do we do this? Jesus would teach the woman at the well in John chapter 4, and all of us by application, John chapter 4, starting in verse number 20, that the little particulars of where and when are not what is important to God. Not talking about worshiping on the first day of the week. We know this to be God-given truth because of the inspired message. But do we worship in a special building? Do we have to go to Jerusalem? Do we have to go to the mountain that the fathers did? Do we have to do those types of things? Is it scriptural that we worship on Sunday evening at 6 o'clock or Wednesday night at 7:30? Jesus is basically taking the traditions of the Pharisees and the law of Moses and the when and the where and in that regards and saying that is not what is important to God anymore. We know we worship upon the first day of the week. We know when the brethren gather to worship, we should be there with them, not forsaking that assembly. But Jesus would teach the woman at the well in John chapter 4 and verse number 20 that it is the spirit and the content of worship and praise. We know everything should praise God, but God doesn't want an empty praise or a praise that's not according to the will that He left us. God is looking for a certain kind of praise. And He would tell us, the woman actually would tell us in John chapter 4 and verse 20 that the fathers worshipped in this mountain, and the Jews say that Jerusalem is where we should worship. But Jesus would go on to tell her that the hour comes when you will neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, ye know not what, for we know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. How do the rocks and the trees and the fruitful cedars praise God and offer unto him this sacrifice of praise? I don't know. But I do know how God wants me to praise him. I do know that it's not important where. I don't need to go to Jerusalem. I don't need to come to a special place. But I do know that when I do gather and worship God, that my heart must be in it. My spirit must be in it. I'm not to follow the vain repetitions of the Gentiles, as Jesus would say regarding prayer. I'm not to follow the rituals of the law of Moses. My heart must be in it. When I worship, as God is seeking such to worship him, I must worship. Notice the emphasis of that word. I must worship in spirit and in truth, because God is a spirit. God is the author of truth, and that is what God is seeking to offer him praise. And so going on to our next passage in Psalm 138. Psalm 138. Here, as our brother Steve read to us, we have a when, or why. Why do we praise Jehovah? Because he is, because he's asked us to, but also because of the other things that he has provided for us. In the beginning of the psalm, David is praising God, singing his praise because of certain things, because of the loving kindness that God has showed, verse number 2, because of the truth that he has left, because of the word that he gave. A great chapter to remember the word of God is Psalm 119, where every single verse, except for maybe two, deals directly with the word of God, the commandments of God, the ordinances, and on we could go. We praise God because of his loving kindness. He gave us the truth, and he gave us a way through the holy word of finding him and seeking him out and praising him in a way that's acceptable to him, so that we can have the promise that he left us, that promise of heaven. We see from verse 3 through 6, we praise God during the good times, when things are going our way. We see from verse number 7, we praise God in our troubling times, when things might not necessarily be going our way. Whether good or bad, good days or evil days, happy times or sad times, prosperous or poor, we praise the Lord for the things that he has done. And finally, in verse number 8, the bottom line, why? Because of the mercy that God has shown to us. Because of the works that he has done for us. That work of mercy, I think we all understand to be Christ and his perfect life, his sinless example, his ministry upon this earth, showing us by way of example and command how we ought to live and how we can be reunited with God after our sins have separated us from him. That is why we praise Jehovah. And finally, in our last passage in Hebrews chapter 13, the command to the Christians to offer up our sacrifice of praise to God. Hebrews chapter 13, part of the beginning of the chapter is dealing with the fact that the Jewish nation has no right to worship and eat of the tabernacle, that true tabernacle that was seen in shadows in the Old Testament, because they aren't part of Christ. What is the Christian to do in Hebrews chapter 13, starting in verse number 15? The Bible tells us, by him, therefore, or through the name of Christ, therefore, by the things that he has done, by that life he lived and the sacrifice upon the cross, by him, by his authority, Colossians 3 and verse 17, by him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God. And the point I wanted to get from this verse is continually. Continually, we know that the rocks and the fruitful trees and cedars, the floods above the heavens, all the kings of earth, we know we are to praise Jehovah for who he is. We know we are to do it in his way. We know we are to do it all the time, in good or bad. But we are also reminded here in this verse to do these things continually because of Christ's sacrifice for us. That is, the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name. Anytime we assemble for worship and preach or teach or sing songs or offer up prayers, anytime we are gathered together where two or three are gathered together and we are talking about the Lord or offering up our private prayers, we are giving praise, not necessarily worship, but praise to God. And we are reminded here by the writer to do these things continually, because this is what God seeks. This is what God wants in his people, to rely on him and to praise him for the God that he is. And he would remind us furthermore in verse number 16 to do good and to communicate, forget not. Do what's right. Praise God continually. Do what's right. Do what he has asked us to do. Do all this praise in good and in bad, because with these things, verse 16, with these sacrifices, God is well pleased. So again, praise is just one of the sacrifices we offer unto God. It is one thing that God has asked for. It is a thing that God is pleased by. And so that is our lesson for tonight. Praise God, and remember always and continually to offer praise unto his name because of who he is, because of what he did, and because of the blessings and the promises we have because of him. If you're not a Christian tonight, or if you're not following in the steps that God has left us through his inspired word, you don't have the blessings that Jehovah has promised, that God has promised. But you can have them. You're here. You believe. You must believe the word, or else I don't believe that you would be assembled with us tonight. You've heard the message. You have faith in Christ. Why not confess his name before men, be buried with him in baptism, and rise up and walk in newness of life? Or if you haven't been living right, make things right, because we know from 1 John 1 and verse 9 that if we are faithful and just to, if we are willing to confess our sins, God is faithful and just to forgive them and wash them away. Is there any need? We're going to sing a song at this time. Let us know while we stand and sing.